Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got that 21 Savage playing as Drapes and Jay. Drive guys here, final hour, 916-339-1140. I see you on the text line, YouTube. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we got Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee. But we're talking about pickup basketball, Jay Johnson. And, you know, I'm a nice guy, man, hardworking. Everybody come up, Drapes, how you doing? I greet everybody.
That's straight. I've been
everybody's
there.
Everybody's my guy. But when it comes to the basketball court, I turn into the Tasmanian devil. I'm like Kevin Garnett out there.
He's grabbing balls out the air.
I am. I'm like, give me that. You know, I'm talking some major trash.
That's what's up.
And one guy who knows exactly how I am on the court is my son, Nick. He's going to jump on with us. He ready?
He ready.
Nick ready here. Nick, what's up, baby? Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you hear that song we played? Jay played it just for you. Did you hear that when we came back?
I did hear that.
All right. So let me ask you this, son. You know, we like to tell the truth. You're not going to get in trouble. I want you to be 100% honest. Remember when we were hooping at Lifetime and Dad almost got into a little disagreement with a player there? Take the people at home through that. What exactly happened, and how did that make you feel?
So what I remember is, like, you were checking up with him, and he was like, I'm not 100% sure what happened, but I remember also that he was, like, fouling you, like, a bunch, and it was, like, not, like, soft fouls, but it was, like, hard fouls. And then he did this one check, and, like, he's like, when he was checking it up to you, he didn't really it wasn't, like, a fair check. And then, like, you guys started, like, shoving each other, and then, like, you had to get broken up by, like, everyone else on the court.
Now, it wasn't quite Draymond Green-like, though, right? It was I was calmer than Draymond, right?
I mean, yeah, compared to Draymond, you was like, it's like nothing even happened. But, like, it was like, it escalated a little. Like, it was like shoving, and then it turned to, like, actually, like, serious. I could tell you that you were getting, like, heated.
Did we win that game? Do you remember if we won or lost?
Oh, no, yeah, we smoked them after that.
Exactly.
See?
You see, and Nick, this is what I'm talking about for the Sacramento Kings. When somebody's beating you, you sometimes have to use motivation, get motivated somehow. And for me, I looked at this guy right across from me when I checked the ball, and I said, you know what? I don't like you. And that sort of motivated me, and then we got the win. Last question, Nick. How did it make you feel, though, to see your dad almost get into a brawl?
I mean.
And you could be honest. You could be honest.
Yeah. When I first, like, I didn't know if it was, like, you were kind of, like, playing around, but then you started to, like, raise your voice at him, too. And then I knew that's when it was, like, serious. And I almost wanted to, like, go in there and, like, join you and started pushing him as well.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. See? Like,
he was, whenever, like, he was trying to set a screen, like, on me and, like, because obviously, like, I was, like, the youngest one there. But whenever he was trying to set a screen, he was, like, grabbing my shirt, too. And he was, like, pulling me around.
See,
man, who was this cat?
I don't know, man. But he was doing some illegal screens.
That's got what, you.
And I'm like, yo, that's illegal. I'm pointing it out. That's illegal. He's like, no, it's not. Now, mind you, Jay, it's some Yahoo. His highest level of playing is at Lifetime with me.
Yes,
like,
sir.
That's his claim to fame.
Right. He's not even on little Nick balling at high school
right,
already.
Nick in high school on the freshman team at Vista. Shout out Vista. So this Yahoo trying to explain the rules to me. And I'm like, dude, I talk about the rules every day. Like, and so it raised the level of intensity.
Oh.
And we smoked him. We got him out of there. And but that's what the Kings need. Nick,
can I ask Nick a question? Yeah, Do you mind if I ask Nick
go
a
ahead,
question?
Ask him a question, man. Go ahead.
Nick, man, because you get to play ball and you've been around Pops all your life. You know, we get to see Pops all day. Do you have you felt the comfortableness in moving to Sacramento? Like, how are you enjoying Sacramento knowing who your dad is?
I feel like knowing who he is, I felt like a lot more comfortable. Like, I still miss like back home, but it's
sure.
definitely I've gotten a lot more comfortable than like say like a year ago.
Man, that's okay, what's up.
That's my
We've accepted
guy.
Him.
Yes, he's a Kings fan. But here's the problem, Nick, and I love you, but I'm gonna put you on blast.
No, wait a minute. Don't put him on blast about changing teams or anything else.
He's still rocking with the Celtics.
He's supposed to.
So when the Kings go to Boston next week and play the Celtics, who should he be cheering for?
cheering for his father but the Celtics.
Yeah.
Don't, because that's the thing. See, I don't know, and I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you history, Japes. I'll let you tell your son this. But you ain't always been a fan of one team at every point in time in your life. So you can't talk about young Drapes like that.
You're right. Hey, Nick, this is the only thing I'm going to say, big fella. Thank you for coming on the show, but take your butt to bed, okay? You're on the East Coast right now. It's 8 o'clock out there. Take your butt to bed.
I haven't even ate dinner yet.
Hey, I love you, man. I'll see you when you get back. We'll talk tonight.
All right, love you.
All right, love you. See? My guy right there.
I like that, though.
Yeah, man.
But see, this is the thing, Drapes. You're not only talking about it, you live in it.
Right.
It's not on the Kings level. We get it. We understand. But you can't, you're not a hypocrite. You're right. Saying something, you know, you're asking for something from the Kings and the organization and the coaches and everything else. But you're also out here living it. Yeah. And it lets me know, you know, you walking and talking. But at the same time, if you was rocking the Kings jersey, which you had, you're rocking the Kings polo.
Right.
You're not rocking the Kings jersey. Yeah. You in for the fight. You in it to win it.
Right.
Like you said, you here to win. And so it's refreshing to hear that, because truly, how many times have we said this? Numerous times here. Where is the fight from this team?
Right.
Just, and I know they want to win. I know they're prepared to a certain extent. I know they're not going out there shaving points and losing or whatever you want to call it. But sometimes, just as you just told your son, sometimes it takes that.
Right.
You got to go to the next level.
Get motivated. And that's the thing too, Jay. It's, you know, I want to know. See, that's in me. Does it have to be in, like, is that something you learn, or is that you just got to be born with that?
I think, to answer your question quickly, for me, I think it's something in you, man.
Mm, right.
It is.
And that's why we say, Monty, go out there and get a Dylan Brooks, a Marcus Morris, you know, somebody. Because I love our guys, but they're nice guys. They're good dudes. You need, and I forget who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago. He said exactly that. You need somebody like a Tony Allen back
stir
in the day
up.
To stir it up. To a Pat Beverly. Said exactly, Pat Beverly is who you guys need.
You know, they did. And they mentioned Tony Allen. I can't remember who that was.
Yeah.
We got so
was
many
that
guys
Perk
on.
Or I can't remember who
it might have been. Perk who jumped on, somebody. Who said that. Like, and it's funny because I said this, and pulling back the curtain, we have Derek Harper on tomorrow, who's a TV analyst for the Mavs. And D. Harper is one of those guys that is in your face. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to talk to you. You know, you're going to have to prove it to me. And I know he's old school, but it popped in my mind. Check this out, Drapes. And a ball player told me this, and I'm not going to drop their name because you could take it however you want to. Mm-hmm. But they said there's three type of people. You have an initiator, a responder, and a person who ducks, right? Ooh. And so I'll break it down to you this way. The initiator is just what you are. Mm-hmm. You say something to me, I'm going to say something back to you. You know, I'm checking your temperature.
Right.
I want to see if you really about that smoke, about that life, as you always say. Are you really about that life?
Right.
I want to see if I body you up, look you in your eye, and tell me you can't take me to the cup no more, right?
Right.
That's initiator. That's the rah-rah guy. That's the Draymond. That's the Pat Bibbs. Yep. Bobby Portis is. Then you have the guy, when I see that, oh, I'm going with you. Oh, that's my dude. I'm going with Drake's fired up. Guess what? You just got me even more fired up.
Right.
Right? That's the person. That's your wingman.
Yep.
And then you have the person who sees it and they like, oh, I don't
you
know
be
what?
A part of that. Yeah.
You know, man, let's just play ball. You know, it's that guy. Can we keep it clean?
Can we just, come on, guys, we just out here having fun.
Absolutely.
Right.
You're one of those three. And in reality, when that can be compared to anything in life, and that's why I started, the aggressor, the responder, you know, versus the ducker. You can put that in any walks in life. But in sports, that to me tells me something about you. You don't always have to be Draymond. But guess what? When Draymond get off the hook, Clay got to go with him, too.
Got to go with him, too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's where I can't figure that out with the Kings is I think Malik's that guy.
Right.
I think Trey Lyles is that guy. But I'm not 100% sure. So we don't have the aggressor in my mind.
Right.
We have a lot of responders.
Responders. But who's going to get us there
correct.
To that point?
And guess what normally happens for me, Drapes, is this. The other team is normally the aggressor. They're the one who normally is looking in the King's eye and say, you ain't going to do that.
Yeah.
You can't take us to the cup. Guess what? We came to your court on national TV. Greg Anthony, Michael Grady, Draper sitting right there. I don't – TNT, Charles, Chuck, all these people talking. We going to test you guys. Right. And the Kings didn't respond. And I think for me, I'm speaking for myself, and I believe for certain people here in Sacramento and part of the King's Kingdom, it's frustrating.
Right, right. Right. Yeah, we're going to talk to Jason Anderson about that very thing as well. The Kings just did not respond to what the Mavericks were bringing last night. Plus, we'll get into the De'Aaron Fox comments after the game. Fox was asked by Jason Anderson about being a leader, facing the media after games, answering questions, and De'Aaron had some very interesting comments. We'll play it for you next here on The Drive, guys, at Sactown Sports, 1140. Back here on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. Coming up in just a minute, Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee to talk about last night's game. Also to talk about the question he had for De'Aaron Fox on the postgame show. I got a couple of TVs going watching NBA basketball right now, and the Sixers are up big, up 12 on the Clippers as James Harden just knocked down a three and got fouled. And I think they're going to look at this one as well, but tonight, we're all rooting for the Sixers, I would imagine, because I still think the Kings have an outside chance at catching the Clippers and maybe even getting that 6 or 5 seed in the Western Conference. All right, last night, the Kings took a rough loss, man. I just mean rough loss last night to the Dallas Mavericks, 132-96. De'Aaron Fox had 18 points in that game, 5 rebounds and 3 assists, but nobody really talking about his play. Today, they're talking about his answer to a Jason Anderson question. Jay, do we have the question, too, or is it just the answer? Because I need to set this up. De'Aaron Fox went to the podium postgame and met with reporters. And here's the question and answer from Jason Anderson and De'Aaron Fox. This is after last night's loss to the Dallas Mavericks.
De'Aaron, for quite a while now, you've come out and you know, addressed like some of your bigger and you know, maybe more difficult losses. Is this like something you're kind of making a point of doing for some reason in turn, you know, just leading this team and kind of showing that accountability? And
as far as talking to y'all,
yeah, just you know,
I don't get shit out of that. Okay. I don't get nothing out of that. They ask me, I do it.
But for the team, is there it really doesn't mean anything in terms of
they don't
just
give a f- I come up here and talk. I tell you that. But nah, I mean, if Michael asked me, I'd do it. If Michael or Shannon asked me, I'd do it.
Okay, well, they're
yeah,
good.
I get no joy in this after a win or a loss. My team doesn't care if I come up here in a blowout win or a blowout loss. So,
sorry I brought it up.
I mean, it is what it is.
Wow. That's De'Aaron Fox after the game. And here's what I'll say about De'Aaron Fox in that whole situation. Fox was a little spicy with that answer. I don't know if he would have reacted the same way had they won the game, but he was clearly a little spicy, maybe didn't like the question, but he was being honest and he was being truthful, and I'm A-okay with that. I always say, be who you are, and if people don't like it, oh well, but at least you're being who you are. And so let's get Jason Anderson on the phone right now. He writes for the Sax Bee. He's the sports editor there. Jason, you're my guy. Thanks for coming on The Drive, guys.
Anytime, Drapes. What's up, buddy?
You tell me, man. I know it was a tough loss last night. Not the way Kings fans wanted to see their team respond. Luka comes in, you know, is smiling, chumming it up with the officials, laughing. Kyrie is hitting 3 after 3. Before we get into the question you asked De'Aaron Fox, what did you make of last night's game, and how disappointing was that for the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing for the Kings. They had, you know, I think that the big thing last night was it was a big step back defensively for them. They've been so good in recent weeks. In March, in fact, going into last night's game, they were 4th in the NBA in defensive rating, which is just an incredible feat for this team, given where they came from and you know, Mike's efforts to to coach them up on that end of the floor. Their three-point defense, which has been down like 28, 29, 30th in the league, was 13th over the last, you know, like since the start of March. So that's one area that he has really had to work hard in terms of like coaching the closeout techniques that they like to use. And you know, they this team lacks a little bit of size, length, athleticism in some of those like wing spots and getting out to contest threes, which makes it which makes the technique really important. And so these guys really have to stay locked in and focused on the techniques that you know the coaches are asking them to use and you know go about defending the 3-point line that way. And I think last night there was just some slippage there, which happens from time to time. But you know, I think all in all, everybody, you know, has been really encouraged with the way they've been defending recently. And you know, I think they can get back to that, you know, going forward, hopefully for them starting on Friday.
You know, Jason, when I look at this Mavericks team, this is a different Mavericks team than we saw earlier in the season. I mean, their length that they now have, you know, I looked it up. Derrick Jones Jr. wingspan 7 feet. Dante Exum, he's 6'5", but he's a 6'9" wingspan. PJ Washington 7'2.5". Daniel Gafford 7'2.25" wingspan. Derek Lively 7'8". Do we need to take this Mavericks team seriously as a threat in the Western Conference, as a threat to our hopes of a top 6 seed going into Friday?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, you do. I mean, they're in the 6th seed right now, and you know, and the you didn't mention Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
So you know, any team with those two guys, you've got to take seriously, and they've done a nice job of putting some pieces around them that have taken them to another level. So yeah, they're right in the mix. I would expect it to be probably Dallas and Sacramento fighting it out for that 6th seed with Phoenix kind of on the outside looking in my opinion.
Have you looked at the last 10 games, and what do you think the Kings need to go over these final 10? Me and Jay were talking. We said at worst 6-4, ideally 7-3 over these last 10 to get a top 6 seed.
You know, I have not, and I haven't compared it to, you know, to Dallas and Phoenix's last 10 either. I do know that the Kings have, at least that last check, which was a week or so ago, they still had one of the tougher remaining schedules.
Yeah. Third toughest. Phoenix. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is now?
Yeah, okay. Third toughest now. Yep.
Well, Phoenix was way up there too, last I checked. I don't know where they're at.
They're at number one now.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah. And so I've been saying for a while, I think the Kings are going to end up ahead of Phoenix. And you know, Dallas is surging a little bit. And so now, you know, we'll see. It's a little bit of a horse race. I don't know exactly what it's going to take, but it is pretty clear it's going to, in my mind, it's going to come down to those teams.
Rocking with Jason Anderson, sports editor of the Sac Bee, and, of course, Sac Bee, the Sacramento Kings beat writer. Jason, before, of course, we talk about the De'Aaron Fox question and all that, I want to ask, and this is something I asked Drapes and Whitey yesterday, what is the end-all, be-all for this season? And I know we're looking ahead, but what would you be okay with? A first-round exit? Would a failure be losing in the play-in? What are you looking for that you would think would be deemed successful?
No, I mean, successful. Like, you have to get to the – they want to get to the playoffs, right? I mean, like, that's success. You got there last year. You need to at least get back there this year. You know, every year is different, right? So we knew that this team could be the same as it was last year. It could even maybe be a little better and not necessarily finish as well in the standings or win as many games, because other teams are going to get better as well. And you know, they've had better health, like some of the teams from last year that really kind of didn't meet expectations. Those teams were really hurt and not, you know, they had a lot of their stars miss games. And so this year has been, you know, kind of a different animal. And we always knew that was possible. So, you know, but look, you don't want to regress. You want to get to the first round at least. I think for Mike and the guys, they want to win and advance in the playoffs. I think ultimately that would be what they would probably define as success. But we, you know, we know that teams have journeys and you know, and sometimes you have to, Mike always talks about adversity and kind of learning from those experiences. And, you know, that may be what this year ends up being is maybe they get back to the first round. Maybe they, you know, maybe they win, maybe they don't. But really for me, I just want, I think success, if I really had to say, like, getting better defensively is a huge step for this group. And we don't know what the group's going to look like going forward. But, you know, as Mike has said many times, like, you don't win championships. You don't make deep playoff runs if you can't be good defensively. And so for them to kind of make these strides that they seem to be making recently, that to me is already like a big, big step in the right direction.
Jason Anderson, sports editor of the Sac Bee, joining us here on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports 1140. Jason, you know, what can you tell us about this Sasha Vezenkov situation? I mean, the dude's been questionable for a couple of weeks. I thought he'd be back by now. I know he's been practicing. He's been warming up. Like, what can you tell us about Sasha, and how desperately could they use him right now with Trey Lyles out, with Kevin Huerter out?
Yeah, you know, it's been a little bit unusual. He's been listed as questionable for, I think, 5 games now. Yeah. And you know, you don't normally see that. You might see it, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 games, and then you know, usually at that point they're back. But yeah, it's dragged on a little bit, and I you know, I can't really say I know a whole lot about it. We haven't talked to Sasha recently, because when guys are hurt and out, like, they're, you know, there are no like media obligations or anything for them when they're not active. So I don't know anything firsthand from Sasha. I've talked to them, or I've talked to him kind of on occasion, and you know, and he just kind of gives me, you know, responses like, yeah, getting better, we're working on it, and stuff like that. But yeah, they could use him. Their power forward depth is being tested right now. Really, I think they need Trey back. Like, if and when Trey gets back out there, I really think he's gonna help the group. Sasha, you know, we'll see like how good a shape he's in, like what he can do, like, but Trey is kind of the guy I really think can definitely help them when he gets back on the floor.
Jason, something that Drapes has he's been leaning on. He's been politicking. You know, we're in the year of the politics, 2024. Jason, he's been politicking that De'Aaron and Keon has the potential, and correct me if I'm wrong, yeah, Drapes, I'm using the proper word, the potential to be the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. Ooh. What says Jason Anderson?
Wow.
Potential. Well, I said potential.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I'll say that. Like, Keon is
don't have to lie to him, Jason, real quick, because look, I know Drapes is your guy, and you're his guy.
No, he was trying to answer the question.
No,
let
because
him answer
you
the
threw
question.
Your hands in the air, so that let me know you've had this conversation
not
or something.
At all.
Okay, all right, I'm gonna remove myself. Right, Jason, what's your answer?
Okay, well, I you know, I don't, I whether they can be the best defensive backcourt in the league, I don't know, but I do think they can be a very, very good backcourt. I think they already are. I mean, Aaron is what, 1 or 1 and 2 in the league in steals and deflections, mm-hmm. I believe. And Keon is outstanding defensively. He's you talk about length and wingspans, like he's a big time wingspan guy with good athleticism and quickness and hands and like all these things. And so really Keon has been a huge, huge part of their defense, you know, kind of going to another level. And they went from, I don't know, like, I guess the best way to put it is, you know, now you've got Domas, who's the best rebounder in the league, and you've got Fox, Keon, and Keegan, who are all, I would say, plus perimeter defenders. And this is a huge credit to Fox, because this is not where he started. Like, he was not a great defender his first couple of years in the league. He always had that potential. But this was a team that just gave up straight line drive after straight line drive for years, and no matter who was on the team. And so for Fox to get to this point where, you know, he's showing us what he can do defensively, you know, they're at a point now where they've got 3 really good perimeter defenders and the best rebounder probably in the league. And that has, I think that's why we're seeing their defense, you know, take another step. And Fox and Keon being back there, plus Keegan and the strides he's made this year are a huge part of that.
Jason Anderson joining us of the Sac Bee. Jason, let's get to the question you asked De'Aaron Fox last night. We played it coming back from commercial just now. What led to that line of questioning? What were you trying to get at with that, my guy?
Yeah, you know what? It was honestly, it was meant as a compliment. And this is something I've been kind of had in my mind for a while now, because everybody's going to remember the period of time where he wasn't speaking to the media. Okay. And that all stemmed from one night where he didn't come out. They actually put Keon on the podium.
Yeah.
And you know, Keon, who I think was still on a two-way contract at the time, and they bring Keon out to answer for a really bad loss. And, you know, there were questions, you know, in the media. Like, I didn't make a big deal about it personally, but there were questions about the team's leadership and accountability that night. And, you know, I think Fox took that a certain way, because as it turned out, like, the team had not even asked him to come out and address the media. It wasn't like he said no. Mm. And so I think his, you know, 16-day like media silence at that time really stemmed from, like, it wasn't necessarily frustrations with us in the media. It was just the situation where, like, he was sort of being criticized, you know, maybe unfairly, when he hadn't even been asked to come out and speak. So he, you know, ever since then, I've noticed after pretty much every loss, certainly the bad ones or the difficult ones, like, Fox is out there front and center. He's answering the questions. He's standing up for his team. And I've been impressed by that. Like, that, maybe I should have prefaced the whole question that way by telling him, look, this is, you know, don't take this the wrong way. But, you know, I think he took the opening to steer. Like, his response was that if I'm asked, I'm going to come out and do this, whether I, you know, like to do it or don't like to do it. He said, if I'm asked, I'll come out. And that's he took it that way, and with some colorful language. It was kind of a really in the room. It was kind of a funny, like, everybody's laughing and smiling about it. Like, it wasn't anything, you know, things take on a life of their own on social media. Right. And you know, but I didn't think it was really contentious. I didn't have any problem with his answer. Like, I do think he has demonstrated leadership, and I thought he might want to, like, talk about that or get into that, just because of the way he is kind of leading this team. Another example of that is the way he has bought into what Mike wants to do on defense. He's been one of the main guys, as offensive as Fox is, he's been one of the main guys, like, really echoing Mike's thoughts about defense. So I've been personally impressed with De'Aaron's leadership, and I thought he might, you know, take the conversation that way when I posed the question. Maybe I could have worded it differently. But you know, I'm not trying to steer anybody in any. He can answer that question any way he wants. Right. And he chose to, you know, make the point that, look, if I'm asked, I'm going to come out. And you know, and I'm fine with that.
There it is right there. And exactly. And because you asked the question, now we know. We can go back to January. If De'Aaron Fox not at the podium, he probably wasn't asked to come out, you know?
He was not. Right. We know that for a fact, and that was.
Exactly. Appreciate it, Jason, man. Thanks for clearing that up. And like you said, once things get on social media, they can sort of take on a life of its own. I'm glad we got you on here to just set the record straight. Appreciate you. We'll see you Friday at the game, man.
Yes, sir. Anytime. You guys be good.
All right. Jason Anderson, sports editor at the Sacramento Bee, jumping on the Drive, guys. Final half hour coming up. We got some phone calls, 916-339-1140. You're listening to Drapes and Jay. It's the Drive, guys, here on Sactown Sports 1140. Shout out to Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee joining us here on the Drive, guys, Sactown Sports 1140. Jason was the one who asked that De'Aaron Fox question last night, and Fox said, he doesn't care, I guess, about being front and center and being the leader and, you know, meeting with the media after games. If he's asked, he'll come out and talk. If he's not asked, well, then there you go. And so we cleared it all up. Shout out to Jason for jumping on here with Drapes and Jay here. Final 20 minutes here as we get you ready for opening day tomorrow in Major League Baseball. We got Oakland A's against the Cleveland Guardians. You looking forward to that, Jay?
I'm going
to
be watching that. I'd be a negative.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but you cut me, and no, not at all. I'm scarred, man.
Really?
I am a scarred baseball fan.
Really?
The last 2 years, I've been conflicted, Drapes. I've told you numerous times I've had Kings tickets, and they've gone to waste. I just can't bring myself to go to the games. I told myself I had literally tickets for a three-game series in September, mid-September, something like that, against mm-hmm. the Padres.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want to go see the Padres. That's a team I'm excited to go see. And I just couldn't bring myself to slide, man. I just couldn't do it. And I know you had went to a game maybe like a couple weeks prior to that.
Yeah, I forget who they played. Yeah, I was down there.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man. And, you know, I was feeling bad because I'm like, Drapeson came clear across America, and he going to more A's games than I am.
I know, right?
But I just can't do it, man.
Dang.
I can't, bro. I really can't. I mean, what? And I know where you stand on certain things. Are you excited for opening day?
Not really.
Lost is luster, huh?
It's lost is, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the A situation. You know, Allen Stiles is big on the Giants. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why.
Exactly. I understand they got Snell. They got Logan Webb. You know, got a nice little pitching staff at the top. But
sure.
Outside of that, you know, it's
it's an uphill battle for them, though.
Right.
I can't believe I'm saying this. The Dodgers have a stacked lineup.
Yes, they do.
Rotation for the most part. You know, I think they're back end of the rotation. I think their bullpen, even though it's been decently strong over the last, you know, few years. I think, you know, the Joe Kelly's of the world type person. I believe Joe is retired now.
Yeah,
I can look that up.
He's been out there for a minute.
Yeah, you know, those type of guys, I think that is their weakness, so to say. I just don't know if the Giants have enough talent.
Right.
You know, to bypass, like we're talking about $500 million payroll almost for the Dodgers.
Right. Yes.
That's a lot. They would almost have to stumble and break their leg a few times.
Yeah.
And it's happened. They've played slowly at certain points in times over the last couple of seasons, but the cream rises to the top.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it really eventually does.
Yeah, exactly. Especially 162 game season, all that. I mean, the cream rises. It's interesting we talk about baseball because the Sacramento Kings, they're about to go on a long road trip. Well, a four gamer after Tuesday's game. And they're actually going to a Yankees game Saturday, April 6th.
Are you a part of that?
I'm not on that trip.
Okay, I'm not on that one.
I'm not. I know I'm bummed. They're going to see the Blue Jays at the Yankees.
Have you been to a Yank game?
I have not been to a Yankee
game. Really?
I've been to a Red Sox-Yankee game in Boston, but not to Yankee Stadium.
Boston is one of those places I've always been in and out quickly. Like my father's side is from Providence, the Rhode Island area. So I get up that way, but when I get into Boston, you know, you fly in and you might have a little dinner and you get out of there. I've never really put my 2 feet on the concrete. And this sounds stupid, but because it's, you know, it's a landmark. But in reality, what is Fenway? Does it touch you? Is it iconic? Is it overrated? Like, where are you going with Fenway?
You want me to be honest?
Of course.
This one, right?
I don't want no pump fake drapes. I want drapes in your face at Lifetime.
Oh, shoot. Ready to knuckle up at Lifetime. I think when you look at it, I thought it was overrated at first. I'm a big guy. Let me tell you my Fenway Park story. First time there. This is when we had first moved to Boston. My son was young, maybe like one at the time. And we took him to a Red Sox game. Guess how long we lasted at a Red Sox game?
I'm going to say 4 innings.
I wish. Ooh. I think it was a half an inning.
What?
Well, first of all, the seats were too small.
Okay.
They're tight. Like, the seats were built in the early 1900s. People are bigger nowadays, Jay.
Yes.
They weren't built for big guys like me.
I got you.
And my son, who's one, he's like, or two, he doesn't want to watch no baseball. He wants to run around. We lasted 3 outs. And we're like, you know what? We're going to get up, walk around, and then just bounced out. It's a great ballpark. It's a great environment. But from a fan, for instance, Seattle.
Love Seattle.
I love Seattle's ballpark.
I love Seattle's ballpark. Huge space.
Huge.
You know, like, humongous. It feels like everything is spaced out. It feels, we went in May, which was for my birthday. And the night we went, like, the first 5 or 6 innings were okay. And then, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, I was like, oh, okay, man, you can't close the roof. But it didn't feel that bad. You had a little hoodie.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it.
Yeah.
It felt wide open.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fenway sort of feels the opposite. It feels cramped. It feels tight.
Gotcha.
Hard to move around, you know? And so that's why I like, let's say, Golden 1 Center, the ease of getting around. You know, it just feels open.
Sure.
You know, when you look at Fenway, I do suggest people go as a bucket list item. But it depends on the game, too, though. Red
like
Sox
who they're playing?
Yankees?
Oh, okay, got you.
Definitely. And I was going to Red Sox Yankee games when A-Rod was still with the Yankees.
Oh, you was getting it
back
in.
When it was
yes,
like
sir.
A real thing. Mm. I was at A-Rod's final game at I'm drawing a blank now at
Fenway.
Or, yeah, at Fenway. And it's electric. And I will say that first couple of weeks of the season, first month, sprung and everything, the energy around there. And they've built it up around there,
yeah,
too, now,
okay.
Jay.
I was going to ask
the bars,
that.
The yeah. restaurants, sort of like Wrigleyville almost.
Okay,
you know,
gotcha.
You been to Wrigley?
I have been
okay,
to Wrigley.
Okay, yeah. It's the area around that is sort of like that, not as nice, you know, but – for Boston, you know, they got a lot of bars and restaurants around there.
Got you.
Yes.
It's always, you know, people, oh, it's iconic. It's Fenway. You have to go. But I'm always like, yeah, that ballpark looked like a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah.
It looks
it's
like
tight.
You said, you know, elbow to elbow, nose to nose. And I understand there is something to it when it comes to nostalgia of like, this is Fenway. You know, this is something that's been here for many, many moons. You know, a generation, century, you know, century and a half, a couple centuries almost.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I get it. I always find it interesting, though, when you really ask people, they kind of give me the answer you gave me, Drapes. It's like, eh.
Right.
To watch a ball game, once you see it the first time, it's like, eh, it's not one of my top ballparks to, you know, visit.
Like, if you're in the regular seats, eh. They got the boxes, though, which are nice. Like, if you're really close down, it's a good place to be.
Okay.
It's fine. You got a little more space. But the regular, you know, I was like third baseline, a little farther up. No, first baseline, actually, it was a little farther up. I mean, it was okay.
Okay.
But, you know.
I mean, there's nothing to it. Are you a Philly guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where you
that's
rock
with, right?
That's
a great ballpark.
Okay.
That's a great ballpark.
I have not been
though,
to that ballpark
with the bullpen.
Yes.
You can look over and, you know, fans can heckle. I mean, that's a, you know, what is it called? I don't know if it's still Citizens Bank
Man,
Park.
You got to check. These names change
yeah,
all the
I know,
time.
I know. It's but that's a great ballpark. So, yeah, the A's start tomorrow. A game you can hear at 7, pregame at 6. Tomorrow at right here on Sactown Sports, 11:40. How you feeling, though, as we put a bow on this show, final 6 minutes? We got Rob hanging on. I'll get to him in a second. You feeling like our therapy session was good? We had a good coping mechanism today. That's how we started off our show, basically. How do you cope with these losses and this up and down? How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, and I kind of started the show us, and I know I caught some heat, you know, 1 of 82. It's 1 of 82, and I know it's a big game and nationally televised. I'm feeling okay. I can go one way or the other. I always am a positive guy, like half glass full guy.
Yep.
With the understanding that, you know what, that it can come all the way down to the bottom of the barrel very quick, right? And so I'm very interested. I think if there's any – now we're at the point in the season, Drapes, and you tell me this, it is a must, absolute 100% you have to win on Friday.
Have to, yes.
If you do not, come Monday, my tone and answer will change, for sure.
Exactly. That's going to be a great show on Monday. Let's get to Rob, Jay. My guy Rob, he's been hanging on for a long time, Rob. I've been checking you out, man. Thanks for coming on. You're all with Drapes and Jay here on The Drive, guys. What you got, Rob?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Thanks for keeping me on hold there. I was like, they're going to drop me. question about Sasha. It was perfect when Jason was talking because I was going to ask originally, you know, if you'd heard any news about him. I know James Hamm was saying, you know, 5 games in 7 days, there's no room to practice. And I think by now we all know Mike likes to get a guy, you know, more than one practice after he's been injured. He wants the guy to get out there 2-3 times before he throws him back into a game. So aside from that, I'm thinking more about, because you were talking, Kyle, about Trey and Sasha. And I got to be honest, I think Trey's had the better season. I think overall, like if you look at their whole body work, I think Sasha's the better player, but just barely. But then at the same time, when you look at their last 5 games for us, Sasha was starting to play some defense for us. And I'm not saying Trey can't, but he's just the proof is in the pudding. You know, you look at the numbers, last 5 games, Sasha had 3 steals and a block, whereas Trey, his last 5 games, no steals and a block. Sasha was shooting dang near lights out from 3. I mean, moving forward, I think we're obviously going to probably get Sasha back sooner, and we need both of them back as soon as possible. Moving forward, I know Trey's more of the glue guy, but do you guys still see some potential with Sasha, or are we kind of at the end of this year kind of, you know, our hopes and beliefs have changed, or are we still thinking, hey, that guy could be a piece if he's a solid defender like he was starting to show? And I don't mean like Keon Ellis. I mean, like, get me a steal every other game. Get me a block every other game. Don't turn the ball over and just keep shooting a three like you have been. I'll leave you with that thought. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
No problem, Rob. Thanks for hanging on. The Sasha situation is interesting to me, Jay, and here's why. I was in Toronto with the team, and Sasha was warming up. Then I saw him during the game at halftime or something, or during a timeout. And I'm like, Sasha, you going to play tomorrow? Talking about that Washington game. And he said, yes, yes. Then he looked back over and said, probably, joking. You know, so yeah. he backed it off a little bit. But I thought he was super close. I asked Mike Brown, this was during a post-game or pre-game press conference, are there any benchmarks that Sasha still needs to clear? And he said, no. He said, right now, it's day-to-day. Well, day-to-day has turned into week-to-week almost. And so I don't know what it is. Maybe they were waiting for this little break here. You're off today. You get a good practice tomorrow. But I think with Trey Lyles out, dude, this is the song right here. This is a,
I know.
This,
love
I
this.
Love this song. Oh, my God. I'm going to play this soon as I hop in the car. But with Trey Lyles out, Kevin Huerter, I do think there is a place for Sasha, and they need him. But with 10 games left to go, it has to happen soon, I think, Jay.
Can you intertwine him now?
Play him some spot minutes?
Yeah, like, does he make a significant, you know, I guess, application to what the team is doing right now? Like, is there any put? And I'm asking you. You're with the team.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing.
Are they looking for Sasha? Like the players, I should say.
No, not really. I don't think so. I mean, they're not questioning and wondering like we are. But I do think, you know, we talk about practice time. We've seen guys go 5-on-5 before a game to work a guy back in shape.
Yep.
I have not seen that with Sasha yet.
Gotcha.
And I don't know if I just haven't been there for it. Maybe it happened the other day, last night against Dallas, and I didn't see it. But yeah. Usually you see some of the coaches, some of the G League guys, and they're running 5-on-5 out on the court. And I haven't seen that with Sasha yet.
You know, it's interesting because if he was that close, I think that would be the team doctors aren't letting him off the hook yet. And you got to protect a guy against himself.
Yeah. But man,
I would love to see it, though.
Right.
We need to see him.
Yeah, we need to see him. And, you know, now you're at a point, too, where the games mean so much. Are you trying to put in a new guy, you know, Friday against Dallas? Maybe you wait until Sunday against Utah. Where,
I like that.
You know what I mean? A little less pressure. You know, you still obviously want to get the win. But, you know, Utah sort of, I don't want to say tanking, but looking forward to the offseason. Maybe you get them a little acclimated, adjusted in that game.
See, that's where you get, we need a blowout. That's what you're saying. We need a blowout to get Sasha some minutes,
Sasha's
fellas.
Just 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes, Sasha. All right, that'll do it for the Drive Guys here on Sactown Sports 1140. Jay, great job as always on the air and behind the boards. Appreciate everybody on the YouTube chat and the text line. We are back tomorrow. Whitey should be back 2:00 here on Sactown Sports 1140.